Our scripture passage this morning is Psalm 44. You would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. Psalm chapter 44. We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did long ago in their days. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, in the light of your faith, for you loved them. You are my King and my God who decrees victory for Jacob, though through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trampled our foes. I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep and have scattered us among the nations. You sold your peoples for a pittance, gaining nothing for their sale. You have made us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The people shake their heads at us. I live in disgrace all day long, and my face is covered in shame at the taunts of those who reproach and revile me because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. All this came upon us, though we had not forgotten you. We had not been false to your covenant. Our hearts had not turned back, our feet had not stayed from your path, but you crushed us and made us a haunt for jackals. You covered us over with deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it, since he knows the secrets of our hearts? Yet, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Awake, O Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. For why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In the age of smartphones and tablets, it's easy to pull out your phone and look through the news and just keep on swiping down and down. It's a seemingly endless page that you can consume and take in. And there's a term that's come for this idea that, well, you maybe start looking at Facebook and before you know it, an hour's gone by, or you look at the news and you just keep scrolling through story after story. The term that they use for this is called doom scrolling. This idea that you just kind of keep on consuming things without really understanding it. Or that negative story keeps being placed in front of you, and before you know it, you're in this sense of doom and gloom about the world. That it doesn't feed you the good news stories, because those aren't the ones that get the most traction or the most hits. But it's always those headline news articles that pull you into it, and then you want to know more about it, so you go and study and look up more articles about it. And before you know it, you're kind of overwhelmed with whatever that story is. We have so much in our world that is wrong today. So much in our world that is not the way that it's supposed to be or that God intended it to be. But sin and brokenness have entered in. We can get overwhelmed by this as human beings. As we look around our world and see all that's wrong, we can look to the Middle East and see that conflict that has no clear or good outcome from our view is difficult to understand. Maybe we try and research as much as we can about the conflict and kind of know the history about it and all of that. But you and me, being here in this place and don't have much influence over it, we can get overwhelmed by the sense of this huge issue that we don't see a path forward for. Or maybe, if it's not something out there, it's something in our own life. Like myself, this week, Thursday evening, after I got that call from the dermatologist that I have melanoma again and need surgery, that I did the thing you're not supposed to do, and I looked online and started researching it, and before you know it, it can take you to some pretty bad places. But the internet doesn't know my case specifically. It's not my doctor who knows the best cause and what works for me, but doom scrolling is a thing, and you can get wrapped up in all of this, and then you start to worry. Well, what is the outcome going to be, and what can I do about it now? And for myself, I can't do anything but wait for that appointment on Monday to see what the surgeon says, and she'll have some plan forward, but I don't know what that is yet. So me looking it up online isn't going to help me, even though I think it will. It usually doesn't. And as human beings, it's easy to get overwhelmed with all that is wrong in the world. Doom scrolling is a way that we think will help us get more informed about it. And that's a good thing, but it doesn't help us get over that there's something wrong in the world and something that we, as humans, don't have a lot to say or the ability to fix it. As we discussed last week, the Psalms is the grammar book for Christians. It teaches us how to speak to God in a variety of different ways. Last week, we looked at what it means to praise God. This week, we'll get to learn how to lament. Lament is kind of a forgotten language to speak with God. As Christians, we don't often lament about things, but it's a helpful way forward with the difficulties that we see in our world today. As Christians, we can lament over the wars, over the divisions that we see in our world, that we know they're not right, but us as just finite human beings can't necessarily take on a whole conflict, but we can do something about it rather than just get overwhelmed by it. We can bring ourselves honestly before God in lament. So what is lament? It's being honest before God. In our relationship with Him, we don't have to hide a part of who we are, or we don't have to hide how we're feeling about a situation, but we can bring it before Him honestly and bear all of who we are in front of Him, knowing that maybe it's just not right, but we can come before God and know that He is with us. Psalm 44 is a classic example of a lament psalm. That it kind of gives us an outline, a structure to how to do this. And it starts out by, in the beginning, remembering God's promises to his people. That's what happens in the first 8 verses. Now, the psalmist who's writing this is remembering all that God has done for them as a people of Israel. If you remember last week, David praised God for all that he had done throughout all the generations of his people. And this morning again, we get that God is going before him, that he is remembering and giving thanks for all the ways that he's seen God at work in the nation's life. So he gives thanks to God for bringing them into the promised land, for rooting out all of the enemies that were there and allowing them this place in the land that he had given them. He remembers all of that was not by his hand, but by God's hand. In those verses, he talks that it was not his sword that brought the nations to their knees. It was not his arm that did the work. But he recognized that God was working through the people in that time, that it was God's hand, God's arm, God's sword that brought the victories to the nation of Israel. But then in verses 9 through 21, bear out his heart to God before this. This is the lament part of this psalm. That he's seen all the ways that God has worked in the past, that it was God's hand, God's arm, God's sword that brought the victories to his people. But now, it doesn't seem like God is there with them any longer. We don't know necessarily why this lament was written or when, the historical event behind it. But we can kind of guess from what he laments about that God's people were struggling. That perhaps a nation had gone up against them and God was not there in the battle with Israel. That they had suffered a defeat. The psalmist is asking, you were there in the past. We saw your hand at work among your people. Why didn't you show up this time? Why weren't you there to bring us a victory like you had in the past? Aren't you a faithful God to his covenants? Weren't you a God who said you would be with us and allow us this land? And where are you? Where are you now? The psalmist doesn't hold back with this either. He's pretty tough on God about leaving them and not allowing them a victory over this enemy. He uses some pretty plain language here, that God has allowed his people to become a byword. Oh, it's just Israel. Who cares about them any longer? Their God doesn't even care about them. A word that you kind of don't want to say. It doesn't make you feel good anymore. That God has placed his people in this situation, and the psalmist is honest with him, wondering, why did you do this to me, God? Why did you do this to your people with all that we've seen you do in the past? Why in this situation are you sleeping? That's what he says in verse 22 and 23. He says, God, why are you sleeping? Why are you taking a nap as your people are being persecuted and thrown to the side and causing their name to become a byword? Aren't you a God who is active and involved in your people? Why are you sleeping in on this one? Why are you allowing it to happen? The psalmist bears his heart out to God, is honest with what's going on, what he's seeing, the ways that he's frustrated that God's not working, or seemingly is not working, in the people's life. Wondering why God is sleeping on this one and not coming out to help. But what's important in laments, too, is it starts out with praising God for who he was in the past, being honest about our emotions now in the presence through this difficult situation. But then it also ends remembering who God is. It ends by saying, "Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love." Last week, the psalm's middle, that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that was the anchor of that psalm. This psalm, it again anchors who God is in his unfailing love. And the psalmist knows that as he's lamenting, that all that is true about God still, even if he may not be experiencing it right then, but he knows the God who watches over him is still there. The God who knit him together in his mother's womb is still there. The one who has ordained all the days of his life is still there. That God's unfailing love for his people has not left, even if he might not be experiencing it then, but that someday, one day, God's unfailing love will be with him again. Bodhi, do you want to play that clip that I gave you?
Dear God, was that necessary? Did you have to make him lame just before the Sabbath? That was nice. It's enough you pick on me. Bless me with 5 daughters, a life of poverty. That's all right. But what have you got against my horse? Really, sometimes I think, when things are too quiet up there, you say to yourself, let's see, what kind of mischief can I play on my friend Tevye?
Aha! So you're finally here, my breadwinner.
I'll talk to you later.
That's a clip from The Fiddler on the Roof. And it kind of shows what lament can be like. That Tevye, the main character, the dad in Fiddler on the Roof, is just speaking with God. And there his horse has become lame or has a limp, and he's kind of lamenting, well, why did you do that right now, God? Why, as we're going into the season when I need him, are you giving him a limp? I can kind of understand the troubles that you've given me in my life, but why would you give my horse this limp? God has this back and forth, honest relationship with God, and I wouldn't necessarily take The Fiddler on the Roof to be very clear theology in all that it says. But I think in that instance, it shows the honest relationship that we can have with God. I think oftentimes in the Christian walk, we've been told that, well, you shouldn't question God or what he's giving you in this season of life. That if you're struggling with something, don't tell God about it, because that's kind of above his pay grade there. You just kind of chalk it up to, well, maybe it's a sin in your life, or maybe it's a struggle that you just have to deal with. Well, that's not a good way to live a relationship, is it? If I had a problem in my marriage, Would it be helpful for me just to keep quiet about it and don't let Emma know about it? Might work for a time, but eventually it'll wedge its way into our relationship and my resentment will keep on growing and it won't be much of a marriage relationship any longer. The same is with our relationship with God. If we're not honest with Him, if we can't bear who we are and our hurts and our struggles before Him and ask Him, why are you allowing me to go through this situation? I've seen you work in the past. Why aren't you here in the now? That'll wedge itself in between and resentment will grow in our relationship with God. Before you know it, we've drifted off and perhaps we find ourselves in a place where we don't have much of a relationship with God any longer. Lament is a helpful way to get past the doom scrolling, to get past the overwhelming feeling that we have in this world about all those situations that we really don't have control over, but it's a way to express the grief, the discontentment with all that is wrong in the world and our lives and bring it before God, trusting that His unfailing love will show again one day. That the situation we're going through, the conflict that we see, is just temporary compared to who God is. I want to take a few moments like we did last week, have you break into groups again. This time I have a few questions for you. The first one is, where do you long to see God in your life? How might you be able to lament about that? And the third question is, how might you be able to share that lament with those around you? So first question, where do you long to see God in your life? Second, how can you lament about that? And then third, how can you share that lament with others around you? So let's break into groups, take about 5-6 minutes to do that, and then I'll close in prayer. Can I join you guys? Moments, if us. To bear ourselves honestly before you, that you created us as emotional beings and we can bring all those emotions to you. And God, we pray, we thank you that lament can be one of those ways that we can bear our discontentment, our grief, our worries before you. God, may we always remember your unfailing love towards us. That first and foremost, you have shown your unfailing love through Christ Jesus. We thank you for His work in our life. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.